Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek and we have got a great show for you today. We'll let you know what's coming up in the next hour right after we pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And today we say a special prayer to St. Gianna Beretta Mola. God our Father, we praise you and we bless you because in St. Gianna you have given us one who witnessed to the gospel as a young woman, as a wife, as a mother, and as a doctor. We thank you because through the gift of her life, we can learn to welcome and honor every human person. You, Lord Jesus, were for Gianna a splendid example. She learned to recognize you in the beauty of nature. As she was questioning her choice of vocation, she went in search of you and the best way to serve you. Through her married love, she became a sign of your love for the church and for humanity. Like you, the Good Samaritan, she cared for everyone who was sick, small or weak. Following your example, out of love, she gave herself entirely, generating new life. Holy Spirit, source of every perfection, give us wisdom, intelligence, and courage, so that following the example of St. Gianna and through her intercession, we may know how to place ourselves at the service of each person we meet in our personal, family, and professional lives, and thus grow in love and holiness. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Boy, that was a beautiful prayer, Dave Parker.
Very beautiful. Yeah, Gear.
Prayer to St. Gianna to start this Wednesday edition of Spirit in the Morning. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a great show for you today. Teresa Tamia will be joining us to talk about online negativity. Hmm. Frank Eliason, we don't see much of that in the online world, do we?
It's funny you said that. I was actually working on a post that I was about to put out there, you know, calling people together today to find each other, find the love in the person near them, instead of this fight that we have all the time, it seems. You know, and you know, really, literally at the moment, I wasn't even paying attention to you.
Well, so what else is new? You know, let me follow up on that for a minute.
You're only 2 feet apart,
because there's a challenge to what you're saying. You're writing a post about online negativity.
Yeah. But it's negative because I'm being negative about people
right?
online.
I mean, you even have to watch how you phrase it, because sometimes we come out against these people, oh, you people, you're so negative, you got to stop it or you're all going to hell. I mean, you know, we got to watch that,
but
too.
That's actually part of what's going on out there, and people don't actually see it. And I don't want to get into the political stuff that's out there, but, you know, we have these two political sides, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one side is being accused of being hate of this.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing is, the other side is doing so from kind of a hate perspective itself.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, and it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have to stop hating. We have to start loving. And this is what the scripture tells us. This is what Jesus tells us. We need to understand that. You know, and
yeah, they both think they're right, and then they're locked in their positions, and then they'll fight tooth and nail for their positions. But that's when the negativity comes out, you know,
let's take it even a step further, because that's in politics. Mm-hmm. I even see it in the Catholic faith with things that are going on between, you know, the Pope and, you know, Pope says this, or the other side says this. You know, everybody's out for the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people actually see that.
We lose sight of that. I was just going
to
say that.
And, you know, guys, I think what we need to do personally is take responsibility as well, because I'm guilty of it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
we all are. And it starts with ourselves.
Yeah.
It starts with looking in the mirror as opposed to, I need to accuse you of this.
Yeah. Right.
No, I need to accuse me of this.
Well, that goes back to the plank in our own eye before we judge others. And how we do that so much more, I think.
I think it gets exasperated.
Yeah.
With social media, it gets exasperated with this desire to get validation, to be right.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, these are the things, you know, I don't need to be right. You know, I don't. And it's getting to that point in that understanding.
Now, here's the challenging thing, Frank. There comes a point where it's okay for us to speak out, to criticize, but it's the way we do it. And I'm going to give you an example in this. I'm going to ask Teresa about this, the Charlie Gard case.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask her now. The latest is Charlie is not allowed to go home to die with his parents in their home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just one thing after another. But we've got to put the facts out there to let the world know what's going on, let our circle of friends know what's going on. I mean, it's certainly our duty as Catholic Christians to help people to understand the truth, but it's the way we do it.
Mm-hmm. It is exactly how we do it.
That's not easy.
But it's also having a respect. And it's very mm-hmm. difficult to respect people that may not have a view that we agree with. Mm-hmm. Now, what
yes.
I mean by this is the doctors. Now, I'm going to go off tangent here, and I don't mean
go
to.
No.
That never happens here, folks.
Yeah, right. We started with a prayer today for St. Gianna, and we did that because today is the anniversary mm-hmm. of my daughter Gianna's passing. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to bring light to that. But what I will also tell you is it taught me to kind of, you know, during her life, to fight mm-hmm. for her, and I did that with doctors. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of experience in sometimes setting doctors over the edge, but that's neither here nor there. You know, but basically fighting for my daughter. I get it.
As a parent should do, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
They should not roll over.
That is correct. And to an extent that, you know, at one point at one of the hospitals, so, you know, we're going to transfer the case, and the person who was the head of that department kind of hit the roof. Turns mm-hmm. out everything I said and whatever wound up being true once we moved to within that specific hospital. I bring this up, though, because at all times, I at least understood the doctors. I did have a respect for the doctors. I may not have agreed mm-hmm. with the doctors mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And so I would say this in the Charlie Gard case. The doctors, they feel like they're doing what is right for the child, in their view. Mm-hmm. Doctors often do think this mm-hmm. in a lot of things that they do. They're not always right. And, you know, in fact, oftentimes they're quite wrong.
I agree with that.
But, you know, so I would tell you is one of the things we need to do in situations like this, have a respect for the person.
That's mm-hmm. the key. You just nailed it.
Yeah. Have a respect for the person. Have a respect for where maybe they're coming from. They're coming from their own life events. They're coming from their education, et cetera, where we may be coming from our faith.
That's the key.
And if you start with that respect, mm-hmm. because one of the things that horrified me, in this Charlie Gard case, very specifically, is there's been a lot of reports of, you know, threats to the doctors, threats. And here's what I'll say. Why are people who are trying to be pro-life threatening people's lives? This is not what it's about.
Exactly.
You're never going to win them over mm-hmm. by doing these things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You win over by love, by understanding. And the one situation I'm thinking of with the one doctor, I didn't try and question who they were. I didn't try and question with what they were striving to do.
Right.
I provided my view.
Yep.
And then I provided, here's what I'm going to do about it in a very clear, you know, tone. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what I did.
Right.
But at the same time, do I respect the individual? Absolutely. Do I think they were wrong? Absolutely.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's what I would tell you. Take into your heart, even your enemies, mm-hmm. take into your heart how to win them over, how to show them the love that can guide their heart to start thinking the way you may want to, may start thinking the way your faith tells you to. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, I apologize, but that's...
No, that was... You
no
made a brilliant
necessary.
Point. That is exactly where we were going with this, Frank, and that's what Teresa's going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. I can agree with somebody's position, and I should... Mm-hmm. I mean, I should disagree if somebody has a position that is wrong, that goes against the truth. I'm totally allowed, and I should, according to the teachings of the church, to disagree, to point mm-hmm. that out. But I can't attack the person and say, oh, well, the reason they take that position is because they hate everybody, and they're a lousy person, mm-hmm. and they're no good. That's where you have to draw mm-hmm. that line, Dave. And that's what Teresa's going to talk about. Mm-hmm. These mm-hmm. attacks, they're getting personal.
Absolutely. Yeah. They've been there for some time.
Yeah, I can say you said the wrong thing. What you're saying is contrary to what I believe as a Catholic, but I can't attack you personally and be morally justified. And that's the key.
Exactly.
And that's the point that she is going to make.
One thing I want to say that came to my mind, like, Frank, what you're asking everyone to do in psychology and others, it's a meta comment. We need to rise above that. We need to look, you know, we need to rise above it and see both. And that's what you're drawing us to do in that meta comment, that meta position.
Yeah. Yeah, and I bet you if you really dig deep enough in many of these situations, certainly not all, you'll find you might be on the same side and neither side knows it.
Mm-hmm. That does happen sometimes.
And, you know, I feel this way about some of the things I've heard in the Catholic faith. And it's like, you know, when people get very staunch and like dig in the sand, and if they were to just dig a little deeper, they would be like, oh, we are saying the same thing. Yeah. We're just saying it two different ways and, you know, gain that respect.
I also want to point out on the program today, Kate Wicker will be here also to talk about her book, Getting Past Perfect. The topic today is pretty interesting. It kind of ties into what we're saying. It's all about how moms should not compare themselves with other moms. And that's a big problem with social media because everybody's life is perfect. Except my life, right? Because people are putting all these things out there.
Is she going to write one for dads?
Yeah. Well, as my wife just says, she just texts me, as happens in the morning. In short, you shouldn't be writing anything that you wouldn't say to the person.
That is perfect.
Directly.
Carolyn.
So,
Carolyn,
awesome.
Right on. That's exactly right. We have very little time, but I want to get this gospel in. Yep. Great conversation, guys. Yeah. That's really the point I wanted to make today. Gospel today is from Matthew 13, 1 through 9. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood among the shore. And he spoke to them in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came, ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched and withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew and choked it, but some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit 100, 60, 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. I don't know what I can add to that. Here's the point. Listen, pay attention. Let the Word of God sink in today. And we're here to help facilitate that on Spirit in the Morning. Just be open. That's the key. When we come back, Teresa Tamio will be talking about online negativity. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 26th. Today we celebrate Saints Joachim and Anne. This Feast of Grandparents honors the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We know nothing factual about Joachim and Anne except that they existed. The names by which we call them come from a legendary source written more than a century after Jesus' death. But we can surely appreciate the heroism and holiness of this couple who brought Mary into the world. Mary's strong character in making decisions, her continuous practice of prayer, her devotion to the laws of her faith, her steadiness at moments of crisis, and her concern for her relatives, all say something about the witness and example of the loving parents who raised her. Even if Joachim and Anne are not their real names, they represent all those throughout the ages who faithfully perform their duties, practice their faith, and establish an atmosphere for the coming of the Messiah, but remain obscure. Whether we rely on the legends about Mary's childhood or make guesses from the information in the Bible, we see in her a fulfillment of many generations of prayerful persons steeped in the religious tradition of their people. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
One, two, three.
Spirit in the Morning. That was All the People Said Amen by Matt Maher. I'm Gary Zimak, and we are blessed to be with you today on the program. Online negativity. We see a lot of it. Go on Facebook, we go on Twitter. Everybody's attacking everybody else, and often these attacks get very personal. Here to talk about that is someone you are very familiar with. You hear her program on Holy Spirit Radio every morning at 9 a.m., our friend Teresa Tamio. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, Gary. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. All right, Teresa, we're going to talk about online negativity. You recently blogged about this for our Sunday Visitor.
Right.
Teresa, before we do that, I want to get some of your thoughts, though, on the Charlie Gard case.
Yeah. Well, Janet Miranda was on my program yesterday, and it's so heartbreaking when I first read the breaking news that they were going to stop in terms of, you know, trying to get him to the United States because
yep.
it was too late.
Right.
Now, the thing that really struck me was that his father at the press conference when they made the decision and went out to the public to make the announcement kept saying that if they were able to get to him earlier, for example, if they had been able to bring the American specialist over earlier and possibly get him back to the United States earlier, over to the United States earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to judge anybody, but in my mind, knowing as much as I do about covering these stories pertaining to the culture of death, how much of this really was planned to stretch it out because they knew at some point they would
wow.
simply just have to, God forbid, pull the plug. So
yeah,
I hate to think like that, but
yeah.
when you see
yeah.
these efforts that are going on and the discussions, for example, that Janet and I had yesterday about problems that she's had with her mother-in-law when she was passing, problems that I've had with my elderly mother and people insisting she go into a nursing home when she's still perfectly capable of taking care of herself, this,
yeah.
this push to end life and to
yeah.
get rid of people. You know, there's this attitude of this throwaway society is everywhere, and I can't help it. Maybe it's a cynical journalist to me wondering what was in their minds as they were, you know, adjudicating this case.
Now, Teresa, this ties in perfectly, I think, to this post that you're here to talk about,
right.
because here we have a story that's very negative by nature. This is not a pleasant story. And we and you as a Catholic journalist and we here at Holy Spirit Radio, same thing, we have a duty to present the truth. But how do we avoid crossing the line? You know, you post about this and it's very easy to say these doctors, they're out to kill this baby and to make it a personal attack. How do you avoid crossing that line and speaking the truth, but not attacking the person who might be, you know, misleading other people?
Well, I think what you have to do, first of all, is always raise questions, ask questions.
Okay.
And then secondly, first, actually, at the same time, when you raise questions, you point to their own statements. What are they saying? What is their record? If, for example, if this is the judge, I'm not saying this is a case who has ruled in, you know, the same way in other end-of-life cases, then you need to point that out to people. You put the facts out there and you raise some questions. And there's nothing wrong with saying this is my personal opinion,
right,
and I think this may have happened, because we're entitled to that.
Right.
But you never condemn anyone. You always say, even when I write about the media, I just wrote an article about Katie Couric, and I don't know if you heard, this is something else that maybe we can talk about another time, but Katie Couric, the purveyor of fake news, is lamenting in a New York Daily News article about the problem of fake news. Meanwhile, she was sued for $12 million last year for deceptive editing, and I basically said, look, you got to pray for her, because she's obviously delusional. You know, how can she face a $12 million lawsuit regarding deceptive editing? And there were other cases of experiences that people have had with her that were of the same genre. So how can she sit there and make these statements? So you raise questions, you point things out, but you don't have to be mean about it or ugly about it.
Right.
You speak the truth in love. And sometimes you do have to get firm. For example, I posted an interview of our friend Uju Ikiocha from The Culture of Life, who got into a very heated but respectful debate with the host of the BBC regarding bringing contraception and abortion to the continent of Africa. Now, Uju did not mince words. And she very nicely but firmly told the woman, who are you to tell my country how we should live our lives? And so she put it right back. Again, she asked a question. So I think if we know in our heart the Holy Spirit how to treat people, he will guide us. Once in a while, I would say most of our listeners, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, are very respectful, even if they disagree with something they say. But every once in a while we get one, and I had a doozy of one last week, that was so condescending, that was so insulting, that accused me of all sorts of things that I supposedly did or didn't do on the air that never happened. And I had the evidence to back it up. And when I sent her back all the evidence with the articles and with the different interviews I did, she sent me back, not even a comment, but some link to something else that had nothing to do with anything. So, there are some people that you're never going to make happy. They just want to vent, and you just want to argue. But I think for the most part, you speak the truth, you put it out there, and you raise questions. And if someone gets, I'm not in the habit, as I said in the piece I wrote for OSV, I don't think it's a good idea to necessarily block people just because they disagree with you, even if they disagree with you strongly.
Yeah.
Sometimes you let those strong opinions stand to allow other people to weigh in and to see what's going on out there in the culture. It can be a good lesson. Now, if someone starts using foul language or insults or threats, then basta. That's enough. I had a man, the guy that I referenced in the article, it was awful. And I left his comments up for about a few hours. But then when he started to say, I hate you, I hate EWTN, that's when I said, okay, you're done. The foul language started, and I just blocked him. I said, you're done.
Right. And by the way, I will have a link to this article. Really good article, Teresa. I'll have a link to it at spiritinthemorning.com. So if you want to turn to it and see what Teresa wrote, make sure you do that, spiritinthemorning.com. Teresa, there comes a point that when we post, even if we're being positive, I've seen this happen numerous times, about pro-life issues, about health care, about immigration, about so many different things, even political posts, very middle of the road, not attacking anybody. There is a point where we can expect to get attacked. You cite a Pew Research Center study saying that roughly 4 in 10 Americans have personally experienced online harassment. 62% consider it a major problem. How do we handle that when we do get attacked? Not for being nasty, but just by putting the truth out there on social media.
I think we have to expect it. I mean, if we think this is going to be a bed of roses, especially in this day and age. I mean, look, the church has always been countercultural.
Mm-hmm.
And if people loved us and loved the church, if the world loved the church, and I'd say, Houston, we have a problem. Now, that's never going to happen because of what the church stands for.
Right.
We are blessed to know that this is always going to be the case. However, in this society, it's going to be a lot worse than maybe earlier years. But again, we just put it out there. We just keep putting it out there. And what I like to do is I like to put a lot of articles that are secular articles that back up truth. Because people sometimes think that, well, if I'm going to witness, I have to quote scripture, I have to put up a document,
right,
which is great, which we can. But what is really going to get people's attention, and also maybe, hopefully, get a check in their spirit, is when you refer to, let's say, secular publications or secular studies that confirm repeatedly what we already know to be true. Because whatever you're putting out there about science, about morality, about good and evil, that all reflects God because he's the author of everything.
Right.
I don't know if you heard the show yesterday, but we were talking about abortion and poverty and contraception with the Couple to Couple League, and this very nice young man called in and said, you know, I get what you're talking about morally, but we need to have an intellectual argument, and it's just, it's the truth is that when you have contraception and abortion, it helps people, you know, out of their situation. And I said, really? I said, explain to me what's going on in 8 Mile in the city of Detroit at these abortion mills that my husband counsels at every Friday. Explain to me what's going on in the inner city of Chicago where abortion and all this is so prevalent, and New York. These people are not in any better situations. As a matter of fact, it makes it worse. And then I told him, you know, I'm sorry very nicely, but you're wrong. So I think you have to sometimes be firm with people.
Right.
But at the same time, put up articles or information that comes from the secular world, because whether people realize it, the truth is going to surface eventually. There's an article I posted on my Facebook page this morning that people should take a look at, from the New York Times, no less, Gary, that says that even if people claim they don't believe in God, they are still searching for meaning. They are wired for meaning, realizing that deep down, the Holy Spirit, they don't know that, that's the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is telling them that they are made for relationship. And, of course, we know that's first and foremost with God. But it was fascinating because here are these intellectual people, you know, laughing at us because we're Christians, which actually, if you've ever read Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, is more evidence for Christ than there is for a lot of what, you know, we claim to be true in history.
Oh, yeah.
Laughing at us and, yes, saying they actually believe in UFOs and aliens. Yeah. And crystals, the power of crystals. But we're the crazy ones.
We're the crazy ones, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even like the study that I put out, I put that on my Facebook page before I wrote the column, you know, the study about harassment online makes people think, and geez, maybe I need to be a little bit more Christ-like in my approach. So I think we always have to, again, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense, you know, but to do it with gentleness and reverence. And not to let, and this is hard for me sometimes, our emotions, because I'm 100% Italian, I'm half Calabrese, so I'm very stubborn, not to let that get to me, and I have to back off sometimes and maybe come back to it later. But you're always, 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 always thinking of maybe helping someone. That's how I approach it. I'm putting something out there, not to say I gotcha or ha-ha, but to say, look at this, because this is what God is telling us about who we are, made in his image and likeness, and I'm just trying to use my page to help people think.
And you're doing a great job. Teresa, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you. You always make time for us every time I invite you on the program. Look forward to hearing you later today on Holy Spirit Radio. And you know what? I look forward to when you're coming to town for the Wine Women's Conference, right? Guess what? We're going to be broadcasting live from that conference. Maybe, if I'm extra nice to you, do you think I can get you on the air?
Oh, well, I think it'd be a blast. You should have me and Kelly Wahlquist. We'll suck the air out of the room at the same time.
Will do. Will do. Teresa, thank you so much. Teresa Tomeo.
All right. Love you, my friend.
Love you as well. Follow her online, teresatomeo.com. Wow. Good interview. When we come back, Kate Wicker will join us.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio news update. The Senate has taken initial votes on the Republican effort to demolish the Obama health care law. Where it ends up is anyone's guess, but the early indication is that the GOP will have a hard time approving sweeping changes in President Obama's statute. That's because the Senate voted 57-43 late yesterday against a wide-ranging proposal by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to rewrite Obama's law, a vote that saw 9 GOP defections. President Trump's former campaign chairman, meanwhile, will not be testifying today before the Senate Judiciary Committee as originally scheduled after the committee rescinded its subpoena. The committee withdrew its subpoena for Paul Manafort late yesterday after Manafort agreed to turn over documents and to continue negotiating about setting up an interview with the panel. That's according to Taylor Foy, a spokesman for Senator Chuck Grassley, the Judiciary Committee chairman. In the wake of interreligious tensions surrounding the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the Vatican yesterday told the United Nations Security Council that it supports a, quote, comprehensive, just, and lasting solution to the question of the city of Jerusalem. During the Security Council meeting, Monsignor Simon Cassas, the chargé d'affaires of the Vatican's mission to the United Nations, said that the Vatican said Jerusalem needs a, quote, internationally guaranteed special status in order to ensure the freedom of religion of the city's inhabitants, quote, as well as the secure, free, and unhindered access to the holy places by the faithful of all religions and nationalities. And in the last piece of Catholic news, Cardinal George Pell has reaffirmed his complete innocence of all allegations of sexual abuse against him. He did so through his lawyer at an administrative hearing that opens the trial against him today. The Cardinal, prefect of the Vatican Secretariat for the Economy and Pope Francis's close collaborator in reforming the Curia and Vatican Bank, has for years been at the center of a media campaign accusing him of having covered up the abuse of minors by some Australian priests and of having made inappropriate advances of a sexual nature in the 1970s, back when he was only a cleric. Such accusations appeared only a few years ago, though, and he has the full support of Pope Francis going forward. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
A prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit of God, and make within us your dwelling place and home. May our darkness be dispelled by your light, and our troubles calmed by your peace. May all evils be redeemed by your love, all pain transformed through the suffering of Christ, and all dying glorified by his risen life. Amen.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. You should always follow your mother's advice. Well, almost always. Consider this story that actor and comedian Tim Conway shared in his memoir, What's So Funny? During his third year starring in the 1960s hit sitcom McHale's Navy, Tim got a call from his mother, Sophia, in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. She told him, Ken Schutz down at the hardware store is taking on new help. You know him rather well. You should apply. A little surprised, Tim responded, Ma, have you been watching me on television in the last couple of years? Well, Sophia answered, I saw it, but that junk isn't going to last. You've got a chance to get a good, steady job. You should take it. Thankfully, Tim didn't pursue the hardware store job, which freed him up to eventually make it onto The Carol Burnett Show. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I've been trying to make sense of the sorrow that I feel, holding on for life to the only thing that's real. I've only scratched the surface, I've barely had a taste, but just a glimpse draws my heart to change, and one side of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything, just more of you. Take it all away, magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. Take it all away, magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. My sight is incomplete, and I made you look small. I've been staring at my problems for way too long. Realign where my hope is set, until you're all that's left. But just a glimpse draws my heart to change, and one side of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything, just more of you.
that was Magnify by We Are Messengers. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Kate Wicker is the author of the book Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood. You can find her online at katewicker.com. Kate joins us today to talk about the fact that motherhood is not a competition. Hey, Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
This is a revelation. Motherhood is not a competition. Kate,
well,
this
you
is
know,
this. Can I just? I want to read something. The
sure.
Evil earworm segment from your book. This is what many moms hear. I want to read this because this is brilliant. I will be better than that mom over there. In fact, I will be the best Catholic mom ever born into existence. I will homeschool 17 children, never lose my patience, and only feed them homemade gluten-free power bars for snacks. I'll also run marathons and be a Nobel laureate. I love that.
Yeah, you know, I remember before I was pregnant with my first, and I was at the store, and I heard a little boy saying, why? And all of a sudden, his mom looked at him and said, I don't know why. And I remember reflexively, like, holding my burgeoning belly and thinking, oh, I will never squander my children's natural curiosity.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Has the Lord humbled me?
I bet.
I mean, I've had kids. Mommy, why are naked mole rats naked? No. Why? Finally, you know, go look it up on Google. But I'm not allowed to Google without you. Oh!
Yeah.
Gotcha, Mom.
Yeah.
So I think before we become moms, and it all comes from such a beautiful place, we want to do the very best we can. And sometimes what we think is best, though, is really going to lead to complete burnout, and it's just not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to lose our patience sometimes. And even once we become a mom and we're in the trenches, it's so easy to look at another mom and think, wow, they've got it all together. I mean, just recently I was at Mass, and I had kind of a rough Mass. My baby's crying in the background, getting past perfect. But,
totally understand.
But my son, my youngest son, he still has a hard time sitting through church, and it was just very distracting. And then two of my girls started surreptitiously kind of elbowing each other, and I was just like, ah! Well, behind us, I didn't realize, it felt like there must be monks behind us because it was so quiet. I turned around for the final piece, and this mom had five children too. And I just thought,
boy.
What is wrong with me?
Right.
You know, and I got really tempted to start comparing. But first of all, two of her children were much older than my children.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest was five during Mass, you know. And so it's so easy. And they probably have had their bad day. We have good days and bad days, all of us. And with the advent of social media, it's so easy, since people share this highly curated, I call it the highlight reel of their life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we start to convince ourselves that that's their life, that they have this seamless, beautiful, you know, existence, and their children never get on their nerves. And it's so easy to fall into that trap. Or on the flip side, which I always remind, because I sometimes on the flip side, you know, you're at the store and your child is being a perfect angel, and
right.
you look over and there's the mom who shoves the lollipop into her child's mouth, mm-hmm. and you think, oh, well, there you're comparing and you're building yourself up instead of just keeping focused on your own, you know, trying to be the best you can, but not making best be perfect. And then also building other moms up when they're having a hard day. I was at a store again recently, and a mom's son was just having a rough moment. He was a toddler, and she had two older children. She was probably trying to back-to-school shop,
mm-hmm.
and he had just had it. And I looked at her, and I had just the baby that day, and I said, hang in there, Mama. I've been there. And she said, oh, thank you so much. He's just done. And I said, I know. I've been there. Mm-hmm. That little bit, you know, of encouragement, because there were these, I live in a college town, and there were all these young girls kind of looking like, oh, my gosh. You know?
Yeah.
So you get all this. So if you could be a mom who encourages and doesn't compare doesn't turn it into this competitive sport. Like, you know, I'm going to be the one who always brings the homemade muffins to everything. And,
right.
You know, and just be the encourager.
Yeah,
for yourself too.
Right, and that's important. I'm really glad you brought that up, because as much as we can say, and I know my wife struggles with this, you look on social media, everybody's life is perfect. Every other mother has it all together. But on the other hand, when you look at that and you say, well, yeah, you know, they're not as perfect as they proclaim on social media, we can easily become a judge and judge their actions, right? We start to feel superior. Well, they're all phony. That's not true what they're putting out there. Now, Kate, I want to ask you something. This is an absolute disclaimer. These are not my words. These are words from your book. And this is what I like about you. You're very refreshing and honest here. I'm going to quote something and give you a chance, because this is an astonishing comment from your book. Women can sometimes just be a bunch of jerks. All right, Kate Wicker, have at it.
We love each other so much, and yet we're so quick to backstab and to look at the other one and put them down. And I think it comes from a place of insecurity. One of my teachers in sixth grade always said, and I still remember this, Miss Perry, if you're listening, don't blow out someone else's candles, make yours brighter. And I think we have a tendency to do that because we're so passionate about motherhood.
Yeah.
We're trying to validate our own choices. It's not so much that we're trying to put someone else down. And I laugh because I wrote for a parenting publication eons ago, mm-hmm. and when I had my first baby and when I was pregnant with her, I was writing for it. And she was a very difficult baby. She's a great tween. She's almost a teenager. She's been just fantastic. So we got the hard stuff, I think, out of the way. But she was very difficult. Well, this baby has been my easiest baby so far. And if I had had him, I cringe at the articles I would have written.
Wow, yeah.
Because, you know, I would have said, oh, well, if you wear your baby, and my first pushed me away, didn't want to be worn. Just went, started walking at 10 months, was all over the place, never slept, gave up naps 6 months. And people would sometimes say, well, you need to do this, and you need to do this. And mm-hmm. I would try to do these things, and nothing worked. And I felt just so overwhelmed and confused. But I just think if God knew what he was doing, just because he knew with that parenting publication, just break some poor mama's spirit. Mm. Instead, I, you know, wrote articles about how to get your child to sleep. Well, you can try all this, but they still maybe won't sleep.
Right.
So it totally changed my perspective. So I think that we just have to be really careful that whatever we're going through, we have our own unique temperament. Our children have their own unique temperament. We need to reach out for help. But we also, if something's going well, another one of my chapters talks about how my parents said, you know, don't take credit for the good, because then you don't have to take credit for the bad.
Right.
And that was such such profound wisdom, that give it all to the glory of God, things that are going well, and things that aren't going so well, don't think that it's because, you know, you let your child cry for too long one night, or because, you know, all these different things, because I had a very, very different parenting, and I still have a lot of the same philosophies, but I've just realized that you can do all of these things, and it's still not going to be perfect.
Right.
Sometimes in the quest to do all these things, it actually leads to burnout or maternal depression or anxiety. I think I read an article recently that depression and anxiety levels are the highest among mothers who stay at home. In that mother, not mothers who work, not mothers, but mothers who stay at home, and not women their age without children. So there's something to be said that we're really struggling. And I would venture that in the Catholic realm, because we hold the vocation of motherhood as sublime, which it is, there's even more pressure, because we have this idea that, and it's true that motherhood is such a beautiful vocation, but we think that if we screw it up, then we're also not being a faithful Catholic, or we're disappointing God. So it's not just ourselves and social media and all this other. And, you know, just to kind of go back onto social media, I recently had someone say, oh, I used to read your blog years ago, and then you just stopped writing. And I was real honest with her. I said, I fell off the face of social media. I'm back on it again because I'm in a really good place. But it was not good for me for a while because I was just struggling. And every time I would read something, that even something from a Catholic mom who is meaning to be encouraging and inspiring, it just made me feel just down in the dumps. Like, what is wrong with me? They have 9 kids. I have 3 kids. I can't do this. You know, what is going on? Because I had 3 kids at the time when I started taking a little bit of a step back. And so I just encourage...
No, Kate, you're doing a great job. Thank you. We're up against a break, though. Kate Wicker, I want to thank you for joining us. Great advice. The bottom line is just be you. God created you to be you. Find out more about Kate Wicker at katewicker.com. When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Thanks, Kate.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpin. In Matthew 20:20, the mother of James and John approached Jesus with a request that her 2 sons sit one at his right and the other at his left in his kingdom. The other disciples, upon hearing the request and fearing that they might be missing out, became indignant with them. Jesus then assured them all that unlike the Gentiles, greatness for them had to consist of service to each other rather than in self-seeking. Isn't this the very core of the Christian message? And yet, so immersed are we in ourselves that without the help of the Lord's grace, there is no way that we can get out of our own heads and act unselfishly. It is on the cross that Jesus shows us how. It is from the cross that we are empowered to do it. Incidentally, by the way the apostles turned out, there is definitely hope for us. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
And that was I Don't Want to Go by Avalon. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I want to talk about that song for a minute. I'm sitting here listening, looking at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. That whole song, the message of that song is, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere that separates me from you. I don't care if I have problems in life. I don't care if I have a cross. I don't care if I have difficulties. Whatever it is, as long as you're with me, it's going to be okay. That's the message of that song. And really, that is the secret to experiencing peace in life. You're not going to have peace if you try to always seek comfort, if you always try to seek pleasant things, because there is suffering in life. Let's face it, that's the way it is. But if you walk with the Lord every day, you will be able to experience peace. How do you do that? Talk to him. Talk to him. Say, hey, Lord, what's going on? Lord, use me today. Lord, strengthen me. Whatever it is, he just wants you to have that conversation. The Be Not Afraid Bible verse kind of speaks to that today. Genesis 13:11. Lot therefore chose for himself the whole Jordan plain and set out eastward. Thus they separated from each other. What we have here is the story of Abraham and Lot. They're traveling together. Lot is Abraham's nephew. Traveling together, they get to a point where it's best for them to separate. What's Abraham doing? He's following the Lord, and he says to Lot, listen, you pick out where you want to go. I'll go to the other land. Remember, God's promising Abram the promised land. That's where he's headed to. Ultimately, what does Lot do? He chooses to dwell in Sodom. Not a good move, because that's Sodom's going to be destroyed because of all the immorality there. What's the point? Where's the comfort in that verse? The comfort is, you stick with the Lord. He's got the overall plan. There will be bumps in the road. That's fine. Expect it, but stay with him, and ultimately you'll experience peace. And at the end of your life, you'll get to heaven. That's why we're all here. We sometimes lose sight of that. Okay, quickly, I want to look at the weather, and because I didn't get a chance to do it yet. Let me do a quick look at the weather. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 68 degrees. Today, mostly cloudy, high near 79. Tonight, mostly cloudy again with a low around 68. Thursday, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 84. At the moment, in New Holland, it's 68 degrees. In Quakertown, 64 degrees. And in Riverside, it is 68 degrees. Frank Eliason, we do the weather. We try to highlight different cities and give the temperature there because we have listeners from many different places. And I think you got an email highlighting that.
Yeah,
just yesterday,
I don't necessarily
today.
Know we're delivering all the weather that we need.
Where else? What did I miss, Mr. Eliason?
Well, you know, we might need to start giving weather for China.
Yeah. China?
Right. China. Wow. So we received an email. Now, of course, everybody's going to be like, oh, you got an email from China? What did it say? You know, if you send us this money. No. You know, quick shout out to John Bonchek from Media Pennsylvania, who is studying at Dalian University in China.
Wow.
And so he wrote to say,
thanks for listening.
Yes, exactly. He wrote to thank us that for the streaming that he's been able to receive, even through the internet being blocked over there in certain areas.
Yeah.
He
said,
Holy Spirit Radio gets through, so I'm able to catch my favorites the past few nights while he's been there.
It's the Spirit working.
Wow. Exactly. So, you know, really cool. We have donors from different parts of the globe. We have people that contact us from different parts of the globe. I think this is the first time I had one from China, though, and I think that's really cool that we're able to reach so many people and bring faith to them. And he was specifically pointed out his love for the 3 o'clock hour.
Oh.
And so, you know,
the holy hour.
Yeah, the holy hour. But anyway, he's been over there listening to his favorite shows. You know, each day, each night, actually, I guess it is.
Keep listening.
Exactly. So, you know, one of the things I'll say is about the theme from the show is, you know, has been about this love, this empathy. And I'll even take it a step further, and it might even be about doing something. So, you know, a few things. First of all, you know, I asked my followers on Facebook, I'll do Twitter shortly, you know, reach out to someone that you may typically have disagreements with, show them the love that you have for them as a human being. That's the one thing I'd say today. It's a great way of winning them over. Number two that, you know, I would also say is do something. You know, oftentimes we say, you know, this is bad or that's bad. You know, instead of speaking about it,
Complaining. Yeah.
Do something that's solutions oriented.
Right.
You know, do something that actually is living the faith in action and showing what we can do for people. volunteer, etc. There's so many different opportunities, and we'll gladly help you if you reach out to us via email. I can gladly get in contact with various groups depending on what your love is.
That's the key. Great advice, Frank. Tomorrow on the show, Bobby Schindler and Lisa Duffy will join us. Hope you can join us as well. Before we sign off, let me just close with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, give us what we need today. Strengthen us, take us where we need to be, and help us to show your love to everyone we meet this day. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Remember, wherever you go today, the Lord is right by your side. Make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless you. We will talk to you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating